Welcome to Tales from a Bibliophile, a bookish podcast about all things reading and the communities that books create. We're so glad you're here. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us again. This week, we have my friend and fellow librarian, Austina, here to chat with us about audiobooks today. Hi, Austina.
Hi, Carly.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm super excited about this conversation. We haven't done a lot of in-depth audiobook talk. I mention it now and then, but I'm excited because so you do them primarily on your commute, right?
That's correct. Yeah. I've not yet been successful listening to them in any other way except commuting.
That's interesting. I am kind of the opposite. Like sometimes I'll listen to them when I'm commuting, but a lot of times I'll listen to them when I'm like doing housework or cleaning or something. I, for some reason, when I'm driving, want to listen to music more often, but my commute is not as long. It's a pretty like easy drive. So I think that probably has a lot to do with it. How long is your actual commute?
So driveway to parking spot at the University of North Georgia where I work, it's 55.9 miles. So, wow. You know, 56 miles.
Yeah.
One way.
Yeah, that's a lot. So you have plenty of time to listen.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your primary, like, where do you get your audiobooks mostly?
I live within the region of the Athens Regional Library System. So I live in Royston, Georgia. And I started out using Overdrive. And then I forget when they jumped to Libby.
Yeah, I think it was last year sometime we jumped to Libby. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have any of my like listening history from Overdrive.
Right.
But I also do Audible. I try to get Audible when they go on sale.
Yeah.
Like the holidays and stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly because I can like the Audible, if I'm impatient and I can be an impatient.
Right. Yes. Yes.
I'll get stuff over there that like I pulled up my listening history from Libby and from Audible, and like the first Audible book I bought like with a subscription was Michelle Obama's Becoming.
Right, which would have
been not going to wait in line.
Yeah, that would have been a super long wait. I do Audible very rarely, but I typically do the ones like very similar to you. I do the ones that I'm super impatient for, or like I was listening to, I haven't finished the series yet, but I really wanted to start the Leigh Bardugo Shadow and Bone series and her audiobooks are, Audible, like they're only on Audible.
You can't, they're Audible. Yeah.
Yeah. So you, so you can't, we don't have them through the library and I couldn't, I try to use LibroFM a lot to give, Avid Bookshop like credit, but they didn't like it's Audible only. So I did those, and then like they do those holiday sales, like they'll do like you can do 3 months for 99¢. So like I do those sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, I do most of mine through LibroFM, but it's because if you're a librarian and you have an American Library Association number, you can sign up for an advanced, they call it advanced listening copies. And so I have a ton of those. And so I just kind of, I go back and forth and when I, it's, which is really nice because I'm such a mood reader. And so there's occasionally a book I'm like dying to have, but a lot of times I'm just like flipping through trying to find something that feels like what I want to read at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to think what my, I'm the one I'm listening to right now is, and it's an advanced copy. This book doesn't come out till November, but it's Bookshops and Bone Dust by Travis Baldry. It's the next book by the guy who wrote Legends and Lattes.
Okay.
And the narration is really good. It's really fun. I don't do a lot of fiction on audio because I have ADHD and I will get distracted and I will like lose whole plot points.
Yeah. What just happened there? Who is this character?
Where did you come from? What is happening? So I do a lot of nonfiction because if I kind of space out, I am not missing stuff. I do occasionally do fiction though. I took a like vacation where I just stayed at home. And so I did a lot of audiobooks that weekend. For some reason I could focus on fiction more. So I did Under the Whispering Door by TJ Klune on audio. And I did go buy that one because I really wanted to read it like right then. And I had the physical copy, but for some reason my brain was just really in an audiobook mood. And so I did a LibroFM I purchased that one. Yeah. What are you listening to at the moment?
So at the moment, it's funny, I go through patches where I listen a ton and then I'll like pause out and only listen to podcasts.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sort of in that like podcast space right now, but I do have, I'm almost finished. A thing I used to do is I pressured myself. I've got to finish these books in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I finally was like, I don't have to, I can get back in line and it'll be okay.
I don't do well with any sort of pressure. Like I just will stop reading. Like I just won't do it. But with Libby, if you have to return it and you check it out again, it saves your place. So it's really nice. You don't have to
right where you started.
Yeah. Yep.
But the thing I will go back to, I probably once school starts, I'll go back to, you know, listening to some audio is The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek.
Oh yeah.
By Kim Michelle Richardson. I've enjoyed that. It's been several people recommended it to me and we're not librarians.
Yeah.
yeah. And so they, it's funny. I think when people find out that there's a librarian character,
you should read this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
So anyhow, so that's the one that I'm kind of going back to. I will tell you that my most favorite thing to listen to in audiobook form are memoirs that are read by the author.
Yes, I love that so much. And being read by the author is one of my, even if it's fiction, but that like, that's my favorite way to do it. But yeah, I love memoirs.
Well, and so that was, I had the opportunity to hear Michelle Obama speak at ALA in New Orleans.
Yes.
Just before her book launched. And I was so sad when it was over.
Oh,
like for 2 weeks, she'd been riding in the car with me to work every day.
Yeah.
And then she wasn't. But I listened to her memoir and Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I haven't done that one yet. Yeah, I need to do that one.
Very good. I really enjoyed that. But I was kind of flipping through trying to look at some of the other Crying in H Mart.
That one's on my list. Yeah.
It's an intense one. And I think and then Born a Crime by Trevor Noah.
That's a great audiobook because he reads the
And so the same thing with Crying in H Mart because there's a lot of Korean in it.
Yeah.
And she reads the Korean the way it's supposed to be read. And so
exactly
it's different.
Yeah.
I would just jump over it.
Right. Yeah. I do that a lot. That's one of the places where with fiction, I will go to audio. If it's got a lot of another language or it's a fantasy novel with a lot of like kind of made up language, I do it that way. Cause I want to know how it's pronounced and I like getting to hear that, but yeah, I just sort of skip over it a lot on the page too.
Another one that I really liked listening to it's Robert E. Lee and Me by Ty. I'm not going to say his name correctly. Sidulee, Seidule. But Robert E. Lee and Me. My background is in history. I studied history as an undergrad and in grad school before going to library school. He's a historian, and he went to Washington Lee University, which is in Lexington, Virginia, which is where I was born in Lexington, and so I was not raised there because we moved when I was five, but I really enjoyed that. And he reads it too. But it's interesting. You made a comment about narration.
Yeah.
Because narration, in my opinion, having now listened to a lot of audiobooks, makes or breaks.
Oh, absolutely.
Listen to things. Yes. And even I learned about vocal fry from a friend of mine who has pretty profound hearing loss, and it was not something I ever paid attention to. And when I hear it, I struggle to it's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. Anyway. Narration is definitely the one that breaks it for me. I almost always, if it's read by the author, it's great. I don't know why, but I don't like full cast recordings or multiple narrators.
Yes. Okay.
I can't do those.
Well, and even some of the AI stuff that's out there, like I've listened to some audiobooks that I'm like, a person didn't read this.
Yes. Yeah. And I need the humanity of it. Like I need to to hear you can definitely tell.
Another really good one. Made by Stephanie Land and Barbara Ehrenreich. And then another one, I don't know if you ever heard of the author Philip Yancey. He wrote a lot of Christian books.
Yes. Yes.
Like What's So mm-hmm. Amazing About Grace.
Yeah. I think we had to read one in at Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Okay. So his, Where the Light Fell is his memoir.
Okay.
It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it came out in 2021.
Oh, okay.
But it's really good. But so another way that I've used audiobooks is that I have an almost 16-year-old niece, Genevieve, who lives in Florida, and so I don't get to see her very much, but she is an avid reader. So mm-hmm. I have at times asked her, "Hey, Genevieve, what are you reading right now?" Mm-hmm. And then I'll try and find some of the titles.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can either tell her they're like, "This is a really good book," or "I can't believe you like this book."
Right. Yeah. That's such a sweet thing to do. Yeah. I love that.
Because it's a fun way to connect with her on something that's on her terms.
Right. And, yes.
So I've enjoyed doing that. But
And that's a great way to do it too, because she's not like pressured to read a specific book. You're just talking about what she's already reading.
Yeah. I'm asking her, like, "What are you reading?" Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I love that.
But then my other sort of the thing I was not going to wait on to listen to this year, but I paid for it, was to listen. I've always been a royal watcher with Spare by Prince.
Oh, yes. See,
and
I didn't
read it. And
yes. I didn't do that one, but I've heard so much about it. It being like such a great audiobook, even if you're not like, I'm not very much of a royal family watcher, but
fascinating.
I've heard that is an incredibly well like produced audiobook. A lot of people a lot of people talked about preferring the audiobook to the just sort of reading it, especially because if he's reading it, nothing that one like especially it. I'm trying to think. I've done a lot of fiction recently, which is funny because I always say I don't do a lot of fiction when I do audio, but I just did I did Wayward by Amelia Hart. It came out recently. And that one, actually, I didn't think I would like, because it's got three narrators, but their stories are so distinct and they're like in different generations. Mm-hmm. But I was able to like track it. It didn't throw me off. Mm-hmm. And I think because I was at home, I was like, I wasn't doing a lot of like I was crocheting and doing laundry. Like I wasn't really. So that one was easy to not be distracted with. I love Jenny Lawson's memoirs or books. She writes a lot about mental health, and she's so funny, and she records she narrates her books too. She has three now. The most recent one I did was her most recent one called Broken, but she's so funny. And she has a bookstore. She owns a bookstore. So it's fun to Furiously Happy, I think, is the one that most people know the most. And then her first one was Let's Pretend This Never Happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just pulled them up and seeing them.
Yeah. I really like those. I'm trying to think what other, I haven't done a lot of audiobooks lately.
I think when I like gave myself permission to not finish, some of these, because I still haven't finished Barack Obama's, memoir. Yeah. It's like 20 something hours, and Michelle was digging on him for being so long-winded. But anyhow, so I listened to that. I have about half of it, and it's interesting from like both like a memoir perspective, but also sort of a historical perspective,
right? Yes,
like current history, like right. Oh, I forgot about that thing, or that was really interesting. But what I did do for a while is like I listened to a bunch of Judy Blume.
Oh yeah.
And they were hilarious, because there was even one, I'm trying to remember which one it was. It might have been Super Fudge, where I feel like to make the audiobook current, because it had clearly been recorded in like the 80s or early 90s.
Yes.
Yeah. They recorded over, it was like going trotting along, and all of a sudden they said CD player, because it must have had like record player or cassette player, but
that's amazing.
And I was like, rewound it. I was like, did I hear that right? And sure enough, it was, they had done a recording over, because what kids going to understand what the heck a,
recording.
Which made me think about, like, well, but why take away from the originality of the story? Like, have that conversation with the kid. Yeah. Like, what's a record player?
Right. Yeah. That'd be super fun. And to talk about how, like, audiobooks, like, now most people consume audiobooks on their phone through an app, but audiobooks for a long time were record players or cassette players or CDs. Like, we still have some, they don't check out a lot, but we still have some CDs. And a lot of the kids ones especially do that at the end of the CD. They're like, please, you know, change CD 2 or whatever. Josh had, they're not Josh's original ones. Someone donated them to the library and I took them, but it was the ones Josh, it was the same ones Josh listened to as a kid. He had the, Disney, like Sleeping Beauty and, Snow White and stuff. Yeah. But they were on, they were on vinyl. And then there was the book that went with it that you could read along to. I found someone donated them on vinyl. He listened to them on cassette tapes when he was a kid. But I just thought that was so cute. I don't remember having anything. I had cassette tapes, but don't remember having any vinyl. So it was really cool to find those. He was so funny. When he was little, he was really scared of the witch in Snow White. So his cassette tape for that story had like a giant X on it to like, make sure he knew not to put that one in. But yeah, it's such a different format now. It's so much easier to get, I mean, ebooks too, but like you just sort of have it a lot more at your fingertips, which is really nice.
Yeah. I was actually able to get two of my textbooks as audiobooks when I was taking
really
courses. Yeah. So I did one was about writing literature reviews. That was really helpful. And then I read for grad school, I read The Privileged Poor by Anthony Abram Jack, which is fascinating. It's an examination of Ivy League schools that admit students from lower socioeconomic groups and the ways that they struggle once they get to these Ivy Leagues.
Right.
And oftentimes in ways that the schools are not anticipating because they don't understand. So for example, a lot of these schools had their dining rooms closed at spring break.
Yeah, but a lot of those kids aren't.
Because like, what am I supposed to eat?
Yeah.
Or what do you mean I can't stay in my dorm?
Yeah.
Or, you know, so a lot of schools have started having conversations about changing those policies. So that was one I did was The Privileged Poor. And then Deep Work by Cal Newport is really good.
Yeah, I haven't read that one yet.
And then the literature review one. And then I read another, the other one I read was Reframing Organizations by Deal and Bowman, which is a kind of a popular textbook to use when you're doing anything with leadership development or administration. So, but it was nice because I could get that reading done and I could re-listen to sections that, you know, if I had the book in front of me, I would have had to keep rereading.
Right. Yes.
So, but
that's great.
Yeah. So that was good. Another thing I discovered was that I had to read for a project at work, Beloved by Toni Morrison. And I had read it a long, long, long time ago, but I needed to reread it. And it was just really hard to read.
Yeah.
It's intense.
It is an intense book.
If I had the text in front of me and the audiobook, I was able to let that kind of keep me going.
Okay. Yeah.
And moving along in the story. And I think I was able to really process it more than I would have if I just read the text by itself. And whoever created that, I'm trying to remember who narrated it. I was able to get the one that Toni Morrison narrates.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's even better.
It was really, really good. She has such a rich voice.
Narrators make such a huge difference. Josh is listening to, he never read the Harry Potter series. And so he's seen the movies, but he recently started doing the books. And I got him... He was physically reading them, but he does really well with listening to stuff too. And so I got him signed up through our kids audiobook app. It's called E-Reads Kids. Uh-huh. And so all of the Harry Potter ones are on there. And he's had so much fun listening to those. And like, we'll listen to them in the car sometimes. And I actually remember when those books were still coming out, when I was a kid. Or no, the books were all out. The movies were still coming out. My dad wanted to watch the movie one time. And I was like, no, you have to read the book first. I was probably like 12. And he was driving to Atlanta every day for work. And so he did the audiobooks for those. And he would do a book and we would watch a movie. And we just sort of went through the series that way. But he was never a big reader. And so that was one of the things that he the audiobooks of that was one of the things that he really like got into and did all the books that way.
Yeah, I haven't listened to all the Harry Potters, but I've listened to quite a few of them because I think I was in college when they came out. So I didn't pay a lot of attention to them.
Right.
Initially, I was never a Harry Potter person. I enjoyed them, the ones that I listened to.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would be shamed by the internet for saying it out loud, but I think I'm only seeing one of the movies.
It's more of like a generational thing. Like my generation, I was the exact age of the characters. And so it like, I sort of grew up with them. And I think if you're in my generation and you haven't like seen them or read them, it's kind of startling because they were so popular. But Josh is 6 years older than me. So he kind of was a little bit older than the target audience when they came out, but he saw the movies and really liked them. And I kept trying to tell him like, the books are really funny. Like the books are so, to me, are so much funnier than the movies. And so I think he's on the fourth one now and he's getting that a lot, but it's fun to see him. He likes to read, but he typically chooses to do other things instead of reading. So he's not reading as much as I am, but so it's fun to see him get excited about reading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think the last one that I did a several months ago. I found on our shelf at my library, a book called Like a Mother. It's by Angela. I think it's Garbes, Garbes or Garbes, but it is, it's kind of like a memoir. It's a little bit nonfiction, a little bit memoir, but it's about, it's a feminist journey through the science and culture of pregnancy. So she talks a lot about like the culture around it and like the historical culture around it. It was really interesting. The audio on that was really good. And that's kind of like that type of nonfiction is one that I like to listen to a lot.
Yeah. Have you, these two sisters wrote it together. One is a psychologist and one
is it Burnout?
Yes. And then their podcast.
Yes, their podcast is great. Yes, I did the audiobook of Burnout and it was incredibly helpful and like unfortunately spot on for a lot of things. But yeah, that was a great one. I really like that one. Yeah, that's an interesting duo because one of them is like more academic and one of them is, I forget what the other one does. But it's like you get the two different perspectives.
Isn't one of them a musician?
Yes, that's what it is. One's a musician and the other one's like a academic psychologist. And so you get a different perspective.
The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle. Yeah. Yes. And so one has a DMA. So that was, what is a DMA? It's a Doctor of Musical Arts.
Yeah, that sounds right. You don't see that one as much.
But the thing that's interesting is that my podcast listing has really put me on to a lot of authors.
See that.
I listened to Roxane Gay had a podcast for a little while.
Yeah.
And I was able to, she shared a lot. She interviewed at various points a handful of, because, you know, she really works to promote and support fiction and I think nonfiction, but particularly fiction, it seems, authors, people of color. And so I listened to S.A. Cosby's book.
Yeah. Okay.
Recommended. I really, he's fascinating. Do you know who he is?
Yeah. He wrote,
his wife owns a funeral home.
Interesting.
And so he spends his days. He does the pickups for her.
Okay. Interesting.
But I listened to Razorblade Tears and what was the other one that was about the car racing, but I can't find it now, but I enjoyed them both. He's a really strong writer and I think they've both been optioned to be filmed.
So, I could see that. We did Razorblade for our book club once.
Now I will say, there was a book I tried to finish that I really wanted to read and I just couldn't do it. Have you read How High We Go in the Dark?
No, is that the
futuristic?
That sounds so familiar.
Science fiction.
Go in the Dark.
Yeah, it was, I couldn't.
Is it a recent? Oh, yes. I know which one you're talking about. It came out in like, I think it came out in like, 2022. So like pretty recently after COVID. I've not read that. That one got a lot of buzz though.
I tried so hard, but it felt too dark for me and I have to be careful. Like I just know my personality.
Yeah.
Like, can't do it.
Yeah. That's very fair. I'm trying to think there was a,
because I'm not usually a science fiction reader.
Yeah.
But Clara and the Sun.
Yes. Yeah.
My friend at work recommended it and I got it on audiobook and I never would have read that book.
Yeah. I love, I think he's the same person who wrote one of my favorite books. I always get him confused with there's another author that has a somewhat similar name and I always get him. Oh no, it is the same one. He wrote Never Let Me Go, which is one of my favorite books. And they made a movie with Keira Knightley that was really good as well. But yeah, I do like doing audio on science fiction too. I did the Murderbot series. I haven't finished the series, but I did the first one of those on audio and really liked that one. I can't remember. Martha Wells is the author of that one.
Oh, okay.
I love what I've been doing recently. Oh, the first one's called All Systems Red. So yeah, I did that one on audio. It was really good. And that one was interesting because the narrator in the book is a robot and it's kind of a robot. He's like I don't know. He doesn't have a gender. The narrator, you just don't know. It's like part robot or I don't know, something that's science fiction-y. So it was interesting to like the narrator of that story already is a different type than what you're used to. So hearing the audio narration of that was really interesting too. But what I've been doing lately is when I fall asleep or when I'm doing something where I want to be listening to a book, but I know I'm going to lose focus is I'll re-listen to books. Or listen to books that I've already read. And so one of my favorite ones is The Raven Boys by Maggie Stiefvater. The narration on that series is so good. The narrator does, it's the same narrator for all of her books. But yeah, I love doing that because it gives me, I love rereading in general because I get to find out more about, or not find out more, you get like little pieces that you maybe missed the first time. And so I love, but that narration is really good. A lot of times if I can't sleep, I will put a audiobook on or a podcast.
Well, if I, you know, this last year, I think I read this in 22. Yeah. The book I talked about the most, the absolute most to people was Everything Sad is Untrue by Daniel Negri. And it's about a little boy. It's Daniel's memoir, but it's kind of written from his, like, you're not always sure that, like, it almost seems like it's being written as like a fiction story, but it's not, you know, it's a story.
Right.
He and his mom and his sister had to flee Iran.
Okay.
In, I believe, the 90s, because his mother converted to Christianity.
Oh, okay.
And as he sort of jokes about it, she wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she kept like hanging crosses in her car.
Oh, no.
And like doing stuff that she was like to be defiant.
Yeah.
And her husband was not like, I'm going to divorce you, but he was like, you got to stop this. You got to stop this.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so the father ended up helping them flee.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they end up in Oklahoma, but his mom was a medical doctor.
Okay.
So she goes from being a medical doctor to not.
Right.
And they lived a very unstable life for many years in Oklahoma. Yeah. So he tells his childhood story, but he also weaves into it they feel fairy tale-ish.
Right.
And folklorish, but these family stories and memories he has from being a small child, but then also stories that his grandparents told him about the people he came from.
Okay.
As a small child. So it's so good. And it's marketed as a YA book.
Okay.
And so I think the reason I loved it is because I think that it's a book that children can read and adults should read.
Right.
Because to understand the experience of the refugee
Right.
In a very tangible way. He does such a good job.
Right.
About talking about, like, he has the most, I don't want to give it away, the most hilarious story about the first time his mom finally let him spend the night at one of his American friends' houses and having to use the bathroom.
Oh.
Because his mom had converted their American bathroom to be more of what he was accustomed to. And he shows up at his home and he's like, what is going on? It's a very funny story.
That's amazing. But what's the title again?
It's called Everything Sad is Untrue.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It's so, so good. So good.
I love it.
So anyhow, but that's one that I like, people are like, any book suggestions? I was like, Everything Sad is Untrue.
One of the other ones I really love, it's Maggie Seafotter. It's a different narrator, but she has a standalone book called The Scorpio Races. And it's narrated by two different people from the perspectives, but they're both really good. And she has a lot of like Celtic inspired language in it. And so it's like, it's one of those where if I look at it on the page, I'm 100% skipping that word, but it's like fascinating to hear how she actually pronounces it. But that's one I recommend a lot as an audiobook. It's really good.
So I think for me, the thing about audiobooks is that if you know anything about driving on the interstate in Georgia, it's because I spend a good bit of time on 85.
Yeah.
On 85 south on my way to work and on my way home, 85 north. Is that like driving can just, because when I took the job that I have, I had to make a conscious decision that the commute would not like defeat me.
Right.
And so how can I use my, like, so I've kind of have balanced between like talking on the phone to my sisters and a couple friends that I am able to keep up with better.
Right.
Because I've got that stretch of time. And then also like, I don't read as much as I want to read.
Right.
Because I'm in the car. And so it's like, well, wait, I can, because audio part, that is reading.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. It was so funny. One time Josh like realized that I can't remember what it was. I think I was like reading a book and I like didn't want to go cook dinner or didn't want to go do, it was some chore that I was like planning to do. And I was just like, I don't want to do that because I have to stop reading. But if you're doing audiobooks, you don't have to. And, you know, like stuff with like driving or doing laundry or like very menial tasks that doesn't. So like I do it a lot at the library when I'm shelving and no one needs me. And so I can kind of get, because that's very monotonous work that doesn't necessarily require a lot of my focus. It's kind of a different part of my brain. But yeah, I love that about audiobooks. You have to keep reading. Read more. Yep.
So, and it's, you know, it's like you get in your car, you got your stuff, your stuff to play, and you go.
Yep.
So I have one time in 7 years, I missed my exit on my way home.
Yeah.
I was so engrossed. I don't even remember what I was listening to, but I was so engrossed in it that I just like blew right by
it. Kept going.
160, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah,
but the nice thing is there's like three other options to get off. And
that's true. Yeah. No, there's a couple other exits. Yeah. That is one of the reasons I like being able to do audiobooks on my phone. Cause I can still like, I can take it inside and keep listening to it. When I first started doing audiobooks, I was checking them out from the library on CDs. And so you can't really keep doing it that way. I can't do CDs now because I listen to audiobooks at like 1.5 to or two speed, and depending on what it is. And so when I listen to like a CD now, it sounds like they're having a stroke because they're talking so slow. My brain just like, I have to listen to it at a faster speed. It's really funny because I don't have to do that with podcasts, but with audiobooks, I almost get distracted if they're not going faster. That's interesting.
Yeah, there are definitely some books that I listen to at like 1.25 or 1.5.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, would you go on already?
Right. Yeah. It's like, it does feel like it's kind of
pick it up. Going.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's great. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me about audiobooks. This is super fun. We haven't done anything as in depth on audiobooks yet. So it's really fun.
Yeah, it's a great way. And you know, I just want to follow up something I said about like audiobooks are reading. I remember listening to something, I guess a couple years after I started commuting, that was around like accessibility and in books.
Yeah.
And talking about like, you know, a lot of times people poo-poo like, oh, that's not reading. You're not engaging with the word. And then they were like, that's a really degrading idea when you think about the people who maybe have really low vision or they have different kinds of reading issues where they cannot physically read.
Right.
But they sure can engage in the audio.
Oh, yeah.
And so it made me think, because I was, and so I try to be really conscious about like, it is a form of reading. It really is.
It is it's an accessibility issue for a lot of people. But yeah, it is definitely, I'm so pro like audiobooks are reading, audiobooks count. Mm-hmm. You are consuming the same content. So it definitely.
A shout out for Glass.
Yes.
My mother-in-law had macular degeneration, and she used that little thing for years. And that was her lifeline to be able to listen to books and things.
Yeah. So if you're in Georgia, there's a specific service through the library that will help you get materials to listen to audiobooks and magazines and different things like that.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. So it's through the Georgia Public Library Service has it. It's great.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. We don't have a lot of people that use it, but the people who do are really, and I think about like, I always thought about my grandmother didn't use it, but my grandmother loved to read growing up, and she went blind when she was in like her early 70s. And she lived to be about mid 80s. And so there was a really long stretch of time where she didn't have access to books. I know that would be so like almost traumatizing to me, because it's so much of a part of my life. The audiobook option is such an incredible, like, it's convenient in situations like commuting. And so, but like, it is also such an accessibility tool as well.
Fantastic. So, well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. So I could talk about audiobooks
for a long time. Yes. Thank you so much for joining. It was really fun. Thanks so much for listening this week. Be sure to rate and review and tell a friend about the show. You can find us on Instagram at Tales from a Bibliophile. The Instagram has links for lots of our other cool things like Libro.fm and bookshop.org. Email us at talesfromabibliophile@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. See you next week.